We're going to be looking and reading out of the book of Philippians this morning, Philippians chapter 2. God laid a little bit on my heart about this. He's been really pushing me a little bit here lately. And, this new year's coming up. This is the last Sunday of this year. You realize that? It's the last Sunday of this year, and now we're going to go into 2019. Isn't that... You know, we always thought, years ago, I would think the 2020. You remember Buck Rogers? Yeah. I was young then when we played, and they played reruns of Buck Rogers then when I was little, but I still watched it. It's, the 21st century, and you think about what they had there, what they showed, what life would be like, but I think, man, we're just creeping so quick towards, here it is, almost 2019. Man, this year is going quick. And then now, there's a lot of things that's changed this year, especially for me in my life, because I didn't expect to be here, honestly. That's the truth. I had no expectations of being in this position right here where I'm at right now. But for whatever reason, God pushed me here, pushed me. And for that reason, I'm like, okay, if this is what I've got to do, then I've got to do it, right? If this is what I got to do, then I've got to do it. So, I've been thinking a lot about that lately, thinking a lot. And so, I've been reading a little bit in Philippians, and Philippians kind of, I'll tell you what, it puts it out there. Puts it out there to us. Chapter 2 is about imitating Christ's humility. That's really what it's kind of, it's even in my Bible. Right here it says, imitating Christ's humility. Kind of makes it stand out. You think, okay, that's interesting. We're supposed to imitate Christ's humility? Well, yeah, I guess we are, right? So in verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 1, I want to pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for allowing me this opportunity, Lord, to be a vessel. Speak through me this morning, Lord. Let me get rid of anything that would hinder your word from being spoken correctly. Lord, let it not be me. Let it all be you and your words. Lord, this is all about you. It's not about me. And I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and in one in mind. Now, I want to say right there, in this translation, it says one in spirit and one in mind. And if you look at the RSV or if you look at the King James, it'll say I'm one in accord. Just like it does in when the disciples are in the upper room and it says they were all in one accord. They were in one spirit. And the translation, when you go back and look at the translations there and you cross-reference all those, it means the same thing. All the different ones, all the scriptures. This wording right here means the same thing, one in spirit and in one mind, meaning in one accord. Same word, same meaning is what I'm saying. And so it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Now, that's pretty cut and dry to me. You would expect that in the church, right? You would expect that out of God's people. You would expect that right there. Now, you don't expect that in the world. Now, I work in the world. I work for a pretty large company. And I'm not boasting. I kind of am a little bit. But we did, we had $10 million in sales this year. It's a pretty big deal, And it's kind of a part of that. That's my secular job that I do. Of course, I have a lot of freedom there. And I'm glad to be in the position I am because now it gives me freedom to do this as well, because I have a lot of freedom there, and I thank God for that. But it wasn't always like that. You know, I remember when I first started there years ago, I started out as a laborer, and then I worked up. I became a crew foreman, and I run a crew foreman for about 10 years. Well, things changed in our life, and we had a baby, and I was gone all the time. And so I'd made a decision. They'd hired a new manager that just was not, we just didn't get along very well at all. And so I decided to leave, and then I left and started my own business. I run my own business for 16 years. But I got tired of dealing with all that. I just couldn't, I didn't feel like God wanted me to do it anymore. It's not easy to run your business. Of course, I'd never run no $10 million business, that's for sure. I barely got by every year. Every year, I always said it's like the perfect definition of insanity. You do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, right? That's kind of like running your business. That's what business is like sometimes. You know, you think, well, next year will be better than this year and this year and this year, but that's construction, you know. But some people do really well at it, and that's okay. But God always seen me through everything. But, you know, they Truebill hired a new owner, and I'm not going to get into this very long, but they didn't hire a new owner. A guy bought it out, and he's a really good Christian man. He really is. And I would have never went back to work for him, but God opened up a door. A friend of mine called, said they were needing some help and wanted me to come up there. And I think I've told this story before. And the first thing the guy did said, well, let me pray with you. This is the guy that owns the company. He said, let me pray with you. And I knew then, I said, you know, I think God's opened this door up for me. When a guy's offering to pray with me about this, he talked to me about church more than we talked about work. You know, and so I felt compelled to go ahead and stay there. And I did. And I have, you know. And so, but at that time, I was paying insurance, and I don't know why I'm going through all this. I just got it. I mean, it's just what's coming out of me this morning, okay? So forgive me. Must be meant to be said. So, you know, I've got insurance now, where before I did have insurance, but I was paying a lot of money for it. I was paying a lot of money for insurance. It was costing me so much. Well, I didn't know I was ever going to be sick. I'm glad I got insurance right now. Man, if I didn't have insurance right now, I'd be in trouble. I really would. And it's hard enough as it is. You know, because your insurance doesn't always cover everything. So, you know, I'm having to deal with that. But what I'm saying is living in a secular world, you would expect selfish ambition, conceit, and things like that, because you always want to get ahead, and I see that at work. The ambitions that people have that aren't serving Christ. The ambitions, you know what I mean? They have this selfish, everything's about me. Everything's about I. You know, there was a country song out several years back. It's all about me. It's all about I. It's all about number one in my life. What I think, what I like, what I want, what I like to do. You remember that? Anybody heard that song before? Well, I didn't know who was saying it. I didn't know who sang it because he said, no, I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about me. That's what I want to talk about because it's all about me. Yeah, that's what life is. It's all about me, right? But you don't, you know, you expect that kind of behavior in the secular world, but you don't expect that in the church. But Paul's addressing this in the church, and he's like, hey, let none of this. You guys need to be in one accord. You need to be in like mind. You need to be in one spirit. Why? Because then you can complete God's purpose. You can't do that if you're not. If you're not. And I'm going to go on. He says, rather... Okay, don't be in self or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. Okay? Because that's what we should be doing. We should be focusing on what other, you know, the interest of other people, not focusing on me, you know. And so he goes in, he said, your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What mindset is that? What was the mindset of Christ? Now, we can think of the fruits of the Spirit, right? That was the mindset of Christ. What else was the mindset of Christ? Serving others, right? He came here to serve. He didn't come here to get glorified. I mean, he didn't come here other than to serve and to be humble. That's what he came here for. That's what he asked of us. He says, who being in very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. All right? Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death and even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at that name of Jesus every knee should bow. Man, I love that. In heaven and in earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Man, I love that. He came humbly. He didn't want anything. He left all that up above, and he humbled himself to come here. He humbled himself to come here. That's the nature of him. That's his nature. He wants us to give up everything, everything that is us, which is selfishness, conceitness, me, I want me, I want new house, I want new car, I want better car than my neighbor's got. That's what he wants us. He wants us to not focus on that stuff. He wants us to be humble. He goes on in verse 12, he says, therefore, my dear friends, I can hear, you think Paul said it like that or you think he said it nicer? Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. See, that's my point. God lives within you. You know, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us. After the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Amen. The temple, the veil was rent in two. He come into our hearts now. He lives within us. So that means everywhere we go. I just love that. I just love that because, see, now we take on, we take on the likeness of Christ. The Holy Spirit lives within us. You know, my goal, you ever met somebody that you just know God lives in them? Man, you can just feel the presence of God. You know, see, used to in the tabernacle before the old covenant, you know, they had to go into the Holy of Holies and all that. But see, now Christ lives within us. Now we are the tabernacle. We are the sanctuary. Lord, prepare me a sanctuary, that song. And you know the old song, we are standing on holy ground. When I, you know, as I walked through the door, I sensed his presence. You know, that's not about this building. That's not what that represents. It's not about this building. It's about the people that's in the building. Because now when you walk through the door, I want people to walk through this door and they feel the presence of the Almighty. They feel it because that presence of the Almighty is living within the people that are here. Amen? And not just here. It's not about just being in a church house. It's about being at Walmart or being at the gas station or being wherever we go. Wherever you're at, that as somebody approaches you, they can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. They can feel the presence of God Almighty in your life. Man, that's what I want. I want that. When people approach me, I want that. They had that with Jesus. They knew who he was. Even the demons, they knew who he was. They did. Anytime Jesus approached somebody who was demon-possessed, they knew exactly who he was. But if Christ lives within you, then you take that wherever you go. You are that sanctuary. You are that tabernacle. That's the purpose of Christ. That's what he's saying. Jesus didn't have a house. He didn't have a car. He didn't have a donkey. He didn't have nothing. He didn't have a pillow to lay his head on. His focus was not on that stuff. His focus was on one purpose. One purpose, which he came to do, and that was to save people. That was to heal people. Amen? Come on now. And so with that, if we take on the likeness of Christ, that's our purpose now. That's the church's purpose. And we're starting this new year off. That's got to be our focus. That's got to be our goal. Our goal can't be worried about other things going on. We got to worry. We got to focus on being in one accord, in one mind, in one spirit, and like-minded. And when we do that, this church can explode. Amen? Amen. your life, individual life, my life, individual life, can explode with the presence of the Almighty. We can do great things for Him because you know why? Because He said you would. He said you would do greater things than I. What did He mean? You accomplish the purpose. You stay one accord. You stay in like mind. And the church will do greater things than He ever did. I get emotional. I do. Because all I want to do, this is not about me. This is not about me, because if it was about me right now, I'll be honest with you, you know where I'd be? I'd be at home working in my shop. That's where I would be. I'm just being honest with you. If it was about me, I'd be doing something else. Fishing. I like fishing too, but I don't fish much anymore. I'd be doing something else. I wouldn't be here. I got to find my place. All right. Verse 14. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like the sky. I don't think that's any different than today. We live in a warped generation, don't we? I mean, this generation we live in, I mean, it's crazy. The things that they allow, the things that they accept, it's okay. People do things now, even people who come to church do things. I'm serious. There's people who come to church that do things that would have been unacceptable years ago. People would have never, they would have been like, no, this ain't right. But for whatever reason, we live in such a warped generation that things have become relaxed in those views, and we've allowed things to, and I won't say allow things, but our mindset has changed to thinking that, well, you know, it's not so bad. Come on now. Come on now. I love that. He says, you will shine among them like stars. He's saying, guys, get along. There's no time. There is no time for arguing and fighting about meaningless stuff, because stuff doesn't matter to Him. He didn't have anything. He's not worried about this building. He's not worried about the pews. He's not worried about the piano. He's not worried about my guitar. He's not worried about that stuff. He's not worried about that. He's worried about a purpose that He gave the church. That's what he wants. He wants us to serve Him and complete His purpose. That's why He left us. He said, I'm going. You can't go with me right now. I'm going to come back and get you. But when I go, this is what I want you to do. Matthew 28, right? Matthew 28, he says, go make disciples. Go into all the world, teaching, preaching, baptizing. You know, people don't even think that they can do that. They think it's, you know, people have been Christians for 40 years and never led anybody to Christ or never baptized anybody. You know, Philip, the deacon, baptized people. He did. There's nothing that says that you can't do that. But yet we seem to put ourselves in places where, oh, no, I can't do that. That's the job for somebody else to do. And we camp out. That's where that selfishness comes in. It's all about me. It's all about what I can get. I'm going to go to church, hear a good message, hear some good songs, the songs I want to hear. And then we go home, and then, you know, and if that doesn't work out for us, then we get aggravated and we start complaining. God doesn't want that in His people. See, we don't fight battles with people. Come on. We don't fight battles with people. We fight battles, spiritual battles. And I've seen Satan use good people. I've seen Satan use good people and confuse them. And it causes problems. And we don't want that, do we? It's 2019 coming up. I want a year of unity. I want a year of like-minded, same spirit, same purpose is what we have. That's what God gave us. It's not my purpose. It's not my purpose. This is not about me. And I want to say that again. It's not about me. It's about the purpose of Christ. And it's about what this scripture, this Bible says for the church to do. And that's what it says right here. I'm reading this right out of the Word. It's not my opinions. It's what the Word says. And we have to. We have to put others before ourselves. That's all He wants. Sometimes that's not easy. It's not. It's not easy. But we have to strive for that. We have to work towards that. We have to want that. And when we do that, then we're in the mindset of Christ. Not only individual, but as a church in whole. And if a church is not unified, if the church is not unified, then God can't use it. God will not use a church that's not unified in one set, mindset. That's as simple as that. That's what the Word says. That's not me. He says if we'll stop focusing on things and stop and we just start serving Christ and putting others first and just loving people, that's what we got to do. I love all you guys. I really do. I mean that. I really do. I have a compassion in my heart for people. I mean, I do. I've not always been perfect. I've done stuff wrong. I've said things the wrong way. I have. But I can't focus on those things. I can ask for forgiveness and hope that I get it. But then I still can't worry and focus on those things. I have to go on in my life. And I have to say, okay, God, I know I messed up there, but because we're not perfect. And Paul talks about that. And I'm going to get to that here in a second, but I want to finish up reading here. He says, as you hold firmly to the word, this is verse 16, to the word of life, and then I will be able to boast on that day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Man, I love that. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering and sacrifice and service, see, that's what he's talking about. He said, you know, it ain't easy. You have to sacrifice yourself at times to do what's right and set aside your own selfish thinking to do for others. You know? Because it's not all about me. Lose my place here. It says, I am glad and I rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Said, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He didn't have it all, did he? That's Paul. I haven't taken hold of it all. Because you know what? We don't understand it all. It's hard to comprehend sometimes what God wants us to do. It's hard to comprehend the things that God tells us to do. But he says, I haven't taken hold of it all. I haven't. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You get that? That's what He wants. He doesn't want us to worry about what we did in our past, the things that we said in our past, the things that happened in the past. We can't focus on those things. We have to let those things go and focus on what's ahead and pressing towards the mark. That's what we have to do, because when we start looking back and start focusing on that stuff, then we get caught up in that stuff and we lose the purpose that Christ has put before us. And we can do that so easily. I'm guilty of that. Sometimes I look back and I you know, even back at stuff that I did when I was younger, the stupid stuff that I did, but I don't have to look very far back. I can always find something I think, I wish I hadn't said it like that, or I wish I'd done this a little different. I mean, we all there, right? But we can't focus on that stuff. We got to quit looking back and we got to start looking forward, because the purpose of Christ is moving forward to heaven.
Amen.
That's what He wants for us. If we start looking back, that leads to destruction, because we're going to fall apart. And then Satan's going to get in the middle of it. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to use you, and it's just going to be a mess. And it happens all the time. In the church, even. We have a purpose. I want you to get that this morning. God has given us a purpose. And it's a wonderful purpose. It's a wonderful purpose. Do you want to go to heaven? Who wants to go to heaven? Amen?
Amen.
Who wants to go to heaven? I'm all for that. It beats this world. It really does. It beats this world, because I know one of these days I'm not going to have to deal with kidney disease anymore. God can heal me today. I believe that with all my heart. I believe He can take it away right this instant, this second. And many of you that are dealing with your illnesses that you have, they're a whole lot worse than mine. I believe He can heal you right now. But for whatever reason, we deal with it. But we deal with it in a way, I'm dealing with it in a way that I serve a Savior, that I know that this is a temporary place, just like what Jacob was talking about. Jacob sang that song as a perfect song for this message. I didn't know. God works in mysterious ways. But that's who God is. He has a purpose, and He has a purpose for you individually. As a pastor, I never thought that I would ever, I never thought I'd ever be a pastor. I thought I'd be an evangelist. I thought I'd be something, but not a pastor. Because I grew up in that atmosphere. My grandfather was a pastor. I knew what pastors went through. I knew how difficult it was to be a pastor. I'm just being honest with you. Being a pastor is not an easy job. It's not. There's a lot of challenges in it. And it's not about preaching. Preaching's an easy thing. This getting up here and sharing the Word is easy. Spending time alone with God and studying and all that kind of stuff's the easy part. The hard part is dealing with the challenges within people's lives, because we all have stuff that we deal with in our lives. And I'm not saying it's horrible stuff. I'm just saying it's stuff we have to deal with. And you take on that concern, and you take on that, you kind of worry about people, and then you want their life not to be messed up, or you want their life to be better, or you don't want them to be going through a sickness. You don't want those things. See, but you deal with that. That's the life of a pastor. And you pray for people. Now, I'm going to tell you, strange stuff happens. People don't come to my house very often. Anybody's welcome. Just throw that out there. You're welcome at my place. I'm not much of a place. Right now it's kind of tore apart, got half the siding on it and half not. Kind of had to put that on hold. But the other night I decided I was going to go out to the shop and work a little bit. And it was late. We'd had Christmas, and I come in, I wanted to do some stuff, and it was warm outside. We'd had that warm weather. So I went out there. It is dark, and it's about 8 o'clock, and after 8 o'clock, for sure, nobody ever comes, So I'm out there, and this car drives up my driveway, and I'm thinking, who's that, This guy comes in, he rolls his window down, and he's like, hey, I know you. He said, I come by, I seen your lights on. And he was looking for work, and I told him I was working for, this other company now, and I wasn't working for myself anymore. And he goes, he just kept talking, and so I got to talking with him. Well, the next thing I started talking about church. He didn't go to church. He'd never been, really. He said, I don't know nothing about church. Didn't know nothing about Jesus, really. He'd heard about it. Didn't know really much about God. And we got to talking, and I guess we talked for probably 45 minutes or an hour. And I ended up praying with him and praying for his family. I mean, it was just really, I mean, tears shed praying. I'm not talking about just a conversation. And when he left there, I thought, he told me, he said, I don't know why. He said, I don't ever come this way. He said, I don't know why I came this way. But he said, I seen your lights on there, and I thought, well, I know that guy. And I thought I'd stop and talk to you. Oh, that never, that doesn't happen. But it did happen. I can't explain stuff like that. But when we get opportunities like that to share Jesus, that's our purpose. We plant those seeds in people's lives. We share with people. This young man, he probably had a lot going on in his life. He needed somebody. He needed some hope. He needed something in his life. And I hope that he gets it. That's my prayer. Now, I've been thinking about that young man ever since that happened. And I've been praying for him. And, I hope God helps him, takes care of it. He promised that he'd come to church. I believe that he will. I believe that we'll see him come into the church house sometime. And if I see him again, I'm going to make it an effort to go find him. But I don't want you to think I'm boasting on myself. I didn't call that guy and ask him to come to my house. I didn't. But I was just willing to talk with him for a while. I was willing to be somebody he was looking for at that time. But that's the purpose you have as well. Every one of you have a purpose that God has put on you. Every one of you, God has a plan for you in your life. He has a purpose for you in your life. And He wants you to just be obedient. And He wants you to just do it. My path is not your path. Even as a pastor, my path is not to make you walk my path. My path is to help you in your path. In whatever way that I can. Whatever way that I can. Is to help you in your path. And that's all I want to do. This new year coming up, that's all I want to do. I want to help this church grow in any way that I can. And it's not about me. Like I said, it's not about me. It's about you guys. It's about the body of Christ. It's about all of us being in one mind, one accord, in one spirit, loving Jesus, loving each other, forgiving each other. When we mess up, right? Because we're going to mess up. We're going to say something wrong. We're going to offend somebody. But you know what? The mindset of Christ, people who love the Lord, will say, brother, it's all right. I forgive you. I love you. Let's not worry about what you said. Let's just go forward, press towards the mark. We're going to heaven together. Amen? Because that's where we're headed. We're going to heaven together. That's what I want. I don't want anybody to be left. That's my heart. That's what I mean. That's how I feel. And I hope that you're with that. I hope that today your heart, you feel that in your heart, and you want that as well. Because that's what Christ wants. That's not me. That's what you heard the word. You can read it for yourself. There's many more scriptures in there that talk about the exact same thing. Christ's life on this earth was about unity and love, and bringing others to Christ. He came and died on a cross. He paid the ultimate price so that we could go to heaven. And that was not out of selfish ambition. Or he would have just stayed in heaven. If that's what he wants from his people, that's all he wants. You to walk your path in the best of your ability. That's it. You got to walk it in the best of your ability. And Paul said this. I'm going to leave this. Paul said this. He said, I became all things to all people so that I might win some. I became all things to all people. Sometimes that means we have to, just like Peter did. Peter was a Jew. He didn't eat pork. He did things he didn't eat. Why? Because it was against his religion. But when he got a relationship with Christ, that's what I got. I don't have religion. We can get caught up in religious things. We can get caught up in all that stuff. But I'm so glad I've got a relationship. Paul said Peter didn't want to eat that stuff. And God said, hey, you go eat with them people. Because if that's what it takes for you to bring one of them to heaven, then you go do it. You go eat it. That's what he meant by that. He doesn't want us to go commit horrible sins. It's not what he means by that. He doesn't want us to do those things. But he means you do whatever it takes to that point. Whatever it takes. I became a Jew, he said. I became a Roman. He became all these things to save some. You can't save them all. But in my life, if I can clearly look back and say that that person right there is going to heaven with me because I was willing to talk with them at my house at 8:30 at night and spend an hour and a half with them just talking with them, that person's going to heaven now. That's it. You know, this is the angels rejoice in heaven over one person that repents. Come on now. Amen. I hear some shouting. Come on. Amen. Come on. 2019 is going to be a great year. And it's not going to be a great year just because of me. It's going to be a great year because you guys. You guys are going to make it a good year. Amen? Amen. And year to come. Year after year after year after year. And I've got to quit now because I know I'm not a long preacher. You know that, right? And you've heard me say this because long-winded preachers kill people. You remember the guy that fell out of the window? Paul preached so long that night that the guy fell out of the window and died. But you know what? Paul had the power. He went down and prayed over him. The guy came back to life. But I know that's funny, but it's the truth. God loves you. He loves me. He loves his church. And he gave us a purpose. And all he wants us to do is just to honor him and love each other and move forward and not worry about what happened behind us. He wants us to look forward to what's ahead of us and press towards the mark because we got heaven to look forward to. Amen. 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 Man, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, that doesn't know you, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that you open up their hearts and clear their minds, that they understand you. They understand that you're there to love them. No matter what happened in the past, no matter that doesn't matter anymore. What matters the most is what happens from here forward. Lord, I just ask that you bless this church, Lord. There's some good people in this church. Lord, they want to serve you in every way that they can, Lord. Lord, I just ask you to be here and guide us and direct us. Give me wisdom, Lord, as we move forward. Lord, Lord, I pray for this community that surrounds this church. Lord, there's so many people in this community in such despair, hopelessness, lost. They need you in their life. And Lord, just let us, when we go out, let them feel your presence. Let them feel your presence when we approach. Let them feel your presence when we walk by. Because of your Holy Spirit, your Spirit lives within us. Lord, keep us safe. Bring us back tonight, because I know tonight you got something more. I don't know what it is yet, but I know you got something more. I'm expecting it. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.